The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Eddie. Glad you're with me. Got Mr. Mangan here with us. Charles, looks like you're having a little evening at the office.
Another evening at the office. Good evening, everybody.
All right, so we got some good content here. We'll try to go as fast as we can, get everybody off as soon as we can, but we'll try to be thorough. Mr. Matt, you with us, sir?
I believe I am. Can you hear me?
All right. We can hear you. All right, so Mr. Matt's going to run the boards for us tonight. Let's see, Matt. Oh, I made Matt change the form. He sent the form to me, Charles.
Oh, and
did he? I said, that typing on there, did you type on the form? And he goes, well, yeah, I mean, I said, did you type in the word guru? And he goes, yeah.
Guru.
And I said, guru in our business means that you're full of crap.
Exactly.
I said, that's not what the Webster's Dictionary says. It's just every late night TV guru I've ever heard of. Well, whatever. So Matt fixed it for us. You see the form now, Charles?
Oh,
questions,
yeah,
for the experts, not gurus.
Gurus, yeah, I see that now.
All right. A little humor there. All right, Matt, what's the first up, buddy?
Well, we have an asset of the week in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Okay.
So we're going to look over those documents real quick. And I'll let Charles take over and walk us through it. We do have a BPO and some tax reports and stuff like that on it, and a Google map. So if we want to look through all that, we can.
Yeah, let's just walk through it, Matt. All right. So got one Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Current value $69.5 on this asset. BPO date was 8/5/2014. Land contract originated in March of 2012. And matures in October of 2026. Original sales price is $34,507.69. Borrower put $600 down, left a remaining balance of $33,907 for 174 months at a 9% rate, P&I payment of $350, and then tax insurance payment of $115 for a total payment of $465. Our current UPB on this asset is $30,716.39. First payment was May of 2012, and next payment is due November of 2014. To date, the borrower has made 30 payments with a remaining 144 payments left. A little bit about the house, three bedroom, one bath.
Do you have the BPO on it, Matt?
Yes, sir.
We do.
All right, yeah.
Average rent in this area is $780 a month.
Wow. And her total payment is $465, including escrow.
Correct.
Wow.
And their yearly taxes are $563 approximately, and they currently have an escrow balance of $1,177. So they have enough in there for 2 years of escrow, I mean 2 years of taxes. So... again, taxes are current. Next due will be 2015. Let's scroll down here a little bit, Matt. Get a picture of this little house. Nice little blue house we have here.
Is that blue?
Just a little bit, Eddie. They even have an awning that has blue stripes on it, Eddie.
I like it. And what town is it in again?
Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Matt, you want to look at the Google map on this asset?
All right. Let me pull that up. All right.
There we go.
Just kind of look.
So it's the last nice little neighborhood of comparable homes. Just a working class neighborhood. It's primarily
a church is right down the street, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's primarily an owner-occupied residential community. Let's see here. According to the VPO, the market conditions are stable. Some cute little houses on the street. So your payment's about 60% of what the rent is. About average of what the rent is. It's funny, all of them are two-story, long and narrow two-story homes.
Shotguns, I've heard them called.
Shotgun homes, exactly. Which we see a lot of these in our business, no doubt.
Well, I mean, when these houses were built, they were built as working class neighborhood houses. They were affordable housing when they were built.
That's right. Correct. So, Matt, let's go back up on our pricing here. We'll talk a little bit about the pricing.
All right.
So our asking price on this note tonight, Eddie, is $26,103.85, which would be a total of cash payments of $50,400. Asking price is 84.98% of the, is that the BPO value, Matt?
Yes, of the
loan to value.
84.98% of UPB,
UPB.
And investment to value ratio is a tick under 38%.
Right. Which would give you a yield to the investor of about 12.45%.
So, Charles, if this were an REO property, okay, and you were buying it just as an REO, wouldn't this REO property cost, if you were buying it at a discount?
Right.
Not at full value, but if you were buying it at a discount, wouldn't this REO cost $40,000 plus?
Yeah. In today's market, you'd be spending at least $40,000 plus for this now.
So this is a pay-in note that you want to continue to pay, but if it didn't pay, you would make money if it defaulted.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Now, this lady is consistent, right?
She makes a payment every month.
She's consistently a little late.
She's consistently a little late. She has her late moments. So she may pay, you know, she may pay right on time. She may pay 10 days late. She may pay 15 days late. But she makes a payment. And
15 days late is not really late, is it?
Not really, no.
And I assume there's a late fee built into it?
There's a late fee. She
so God forbid if she were late, you'd actually make a little money on that.
Yeah, exactly. They'll pick up probably $25 late charge on the account.
Yeah. So we've owned a lot of paper like this, Charles. You've been in charge of servicing a lot of paper like this. This lady, her pattern of payment, does it bother you? Why do you think she pays this way?
It doesn't bother me. It just depends on that's just the way her checks fall. This lady, we've actually talked to the lady, and you know, she gets a late notice. They send her a late notice, and she'll come in. She'll make a payment, or she'll do a phone pay, and she always gets her payment in. So, and really no reason. I mean, you know, some people just don't have a habit of promptness with paying their payment. You know, to them, they don't care about paying a late charge. You know, they're going to make their payment no matter what, and they just come in and make their payment, you know, 15 days after the due date or 20 days after the due date.
But, all right, a couple of things I would say about this deal. This is a pretty long-term note.
Right.
There's 12 years left on it, and I think the odds of it paying off early are probably pretty darn high. Can't guarantee it, but I would say that's not abnormal. So the yield's 12.5, but if the loan pays off early, you know, your yield goes up. Probably 200 basis points. You know, probably make your yield closer to 15 if it paid off in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and it's only been paying a couple of years. So, I mean, she's, you know, I think she'll, you know, before, it'd probably be a few more years before it paid off if it was to pay off.
Right. So we're spotlighting this deal tonight to say, you know, this lady isn't perfect, but she's not ever been late enough we could ever do anything to her. There's no the capital firm that owned this asset before we bought it, same thing. You know, she pays 10 days late, 15 days late. But she's, you know, we're just saying that's what this paper is. It doesn't scare us. I can tell you this, that if you could own that collateral for $26,000, you'd be thrilled.
Exactly.
But I don't think she's going to default. I'm not selling it as a non-performing note. We're selling it as a performing note, but there's definitely a safety net if she can't pay. Any questions anybody got? Let's see here. I see one. Help me out here, Maddie.
All right.
Yeah, there was one question. Does she pay late fees and how much? And I think Matt's pulled it up and it was $35 was her late fee.
Tim Stoll, Mr. Positive, said that her pickup's worth more than the house. No, it's not. The house is worth $65,000.
Actually, $69,000.
I know it's a working class house. I'm razzing Tim a little bit. It's a working class house, but it definitely is, a nice piece of collateral. Let's see. Yep, Kevin, Keith asked about late fees. Tim, you know I'm just pulling your leg, by the way. No, he does. Let's see. Anybody else got any questions? Is this a viable note?
No doubt it is, Eddie.
All day long.
All day long.
Yeah, Keith says 38% investment to value. You don't need a calculator.
Yeah.
All right, so this is an asset that's available. It's a pretty inexpensive asset. It costs $26,000. It's kind of a double your money deal over the next 12 years. If it doesn't pay off early, your return would be, of course, better because you could earn the discount quicker if it didn't pay off early. I mean, if it did pay off early, but pretty good looking asset.
Not bad.
All right, somebody wants to buy it, Charles. What do they do?
Anybody wants to
holler, they holler outside the window?
Just holler at us out the window. Just shoot me an email at charlesm@colonialfundinggroup.com, and I'll get Jennifer to send you over the due diligence file, and you can buy it. So feel free to shoot me an email.
Hey, guys, Patricia Sloan has actually raised her hand. Would y'all like to answer the question?
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
Patricia, are you on, and can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was wondering, do you know anything about, is she self-employed? Why is she playing late each day? I mean, each month.
You know, I don't, Patricia, really know other than she's just she has a job, and you know, when she gets paid, she pays her electric and her groceries one paycheck, and when she gets paid next paycheck, she pays her house payment. So... she's really never given a reason for being late. That's not unusual, Patricia. I mean, when we deal with lower price band assets, I mean, I've dealt with thousands of these assets. And, you know, you call a borrower, and in their mind, they're like, well, I'll make my payment. I never miss a payment. It's just going to be late. But, you know, that's just their mentality on a lot of borrowers. And, I mean, it's just, I mean, I personally have renters just like that now. You know, they rent, but they pay every month, but they're continually late. They never pay on time. They pay me a late charge every month. But yeah, she's never really given a reason for why she's late.
Okay.
She, it's like Charles said, it's just, you know, it's just where they are, you know.
Yeah.
It's just where they live. It's cheaper than she can rent anywhere, and it's just where they live.
All right, I'll go ahead and put Miss Patricia on mute then.
Yeah. Ryan's comment was 15 days late is nothing, and I think that's kind of Charles and I's sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, there are days, I mean, there are months that she'll run longer than 15 days too, though, Ryan. But, you know, the whole point is I know if she hadn't paid by the end of the month, I'm going to have a check shortly thereafter.
Yeah, and you'll get a late fee.
And I'll get a late
fee. You'll make money. You'll make more money if she doesn't pay on time.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, Key's comment was that the late fee actually helps the yield, and that's totally correct. So I wouldn't be motivated to modify the loan. Listen, this deal is all in our favor. You can't go wrong. You got $26,000 in it. If you had to foreclose, you'd be thrilled. And the lady pays a little late, but she pays 10 or 15 days late. It's like it's nothing. If we haven't taught you guys to have a tolerance for this pay history, your underwear's too tight. Because this one's good. Charles and I can show you some that's going to take more tolerance than this.
Exactly. We have our
scrum. And we picked this deal, and we picked the pay history of this deal on purpose. We're just trying to say that these are looking back, Charles, would you buy this asset again?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Every day I buy this asset.
We bought the asset, Eddie, we looked at the pay history, and we reviewed every one of these pay histories. I mean, you know, I had some that you can look. A lot of them, they were 30 days. They were over 30 days. But they would come back and pay every month. They were going to catch up, and they were going to pay. And that's just the nature of the beast when we're dealing with these type of assets. And so, yeah, we would buy them. I'd buy it all over again. And, again, we bought it at discount, so it was, you know, it was definitely worth it.
All right, Mr. Matt.
All righty. Let me get this one out of here, and I'll go back to our main Not Gurus page. All right, so next thing we have up is a question about an asset that was purchased in an IRA. And so I don't know if you want me to read it off for you or how you want me to handle that. But
just kind of read it off for
us. Okay. So the question goes, it's got a couple different parts to it, but it's I have a performing asset in my IRA. The original owner died, but the wife and daughter picked up the payments on the asset. The kind of a little bit about the note is there's $13.29 left, and they're getting about $100 a month on this. The loan is scheduled for another 11 years with an interest rate of 10%. So the first question is, if you had an asset like this, could you reach out to the borrower and get them to reduce their balance and see if they would refinance with another institution? So personally, would you be able to do that legally, to reach out to the borrower if it's through your IRA, or would a servicer have to do that?
Are you asking me that if I own a note, do I have the legal right to call the borrower? Is that a prohibited transaction?
Correct.
I don't believe so. I do not believe so. I mean, listen, there's people that get crazy carried away with everything. I'm not rendering legal or accounting advice. You can go get your own. But I'm telling you right now, if you got a borrower and you're going to go talk to them about their debt, and you have a self-directed retirement account, and your judgment on this deal affects whether you get paid back or not, or whether your account does, and you're getting no personal benefit from it at the moment, you're not getting any compensation for it, of course you can talk to them. So I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid like, you know, you got to be able to conduct appropriate business decisions based on your investment. That's why it's self-directed. That's like saying you can't look at a BPO because, you know, you'd be compensated for reviewing a BPO. Now, you can't buy the BPO personally for the benefit of your IRA, but you can darn sure review it, right?
Yeah.
So it's a great question, Matt, and it's my opinion that the person is good with this.
Okay.
What's the collateral?
The collateral itself is, this is why it's a little bit different. It's just a piece of land, actually.
Sure.
Correct.
Is that subject to Dodd-Frank or SAFE Act?
Is it?
Absolutely not.
Yes.
So, as far as any regulatory environment and you're being able to talk to them about their debt, it's not a consumer loan. It's not subject to Dodd-Frank. It's not subject to SAFE Act because it's not their primary residence. Okay? So, it becomes an arguable subject if you're not an RMLO. I know we got hundreds of students that do it every day, and I totally get that. But I'm just saying there's absolutely no legal reason you couldn't talk to the borrower. What you're asking is, Matt, could you – this was a note that was, like, super cheap, right?
Correct. It was about
– It was a little lot, you know, a little cheapo lot that the value of the lot was less than what was owed, right?
Correct.
And this note was bought in – self-directed retirement account, and by the way, every student in every mentoring student in note school on the performing note side had this note in their inventory they could have bought. Is that right?
That's correct.
Who bought this note, Matt?
I did.
You did?
I did, yeah.
And you were following the same set of rules everybody else was following?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's look at the spreadsheet. This is why I said all this, Charles, because they're all fixing to get jealous. I swear, he got a son-in-law deal in this deal.
Actually, I bought it for VIP exchange. So.
Did you buy this what'd you pay for this, Matt?
Total in after all the servicing or all the fees was $1,400.
All right. You paid $1,400. You probably paid too much, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at your graft. The reason he bought it so cheap is because the value crashed on the land. Mr. died, and the wife and his daughter are still paying you, right?
Correct. She's on the wife is on the note and the mortgage, so she is obligated to.
And is it a note and mortgage?
It is. Well, it's a note. A land contract.
Is a land contract?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What state's it in?
Kentucky.
All right. So, Charles, Matt doesn't need to enhance his yield. You got that? But it's kind of a great exercise, and Matt really asked this of me offline, and I made him put it on the call. And by the way, this was an asset that every student had access to and could have bought. Okay? Seriously. So the reason it was a little cheapo asset is because the land's worth about $4,000 or $5,000. But they're paying. In fact, Matt, they're paying you more than what the note calls for.
Yeah, they're paying me about $150 to $155 a month.
All right. So Matt's question is, let's see, Matt, go in there and drop the amortization to six years on the full note.
Up here?
Yep.
Okay. 72?
72. We're going to play with this. I don't know what the number is going to be. Drop the interest rate to 6%. Drop the amortization term to 48 months. Drop it to, wow, 36 months. Okay. Now go drop your investment to 36 months on your term. Why that's not coming up with our yield, Matt? The terms on this note, really, to take it's 243 a month, it really dropped the term that much?
It's out over 10 years or 11 years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I was trying to get the payment to about 250 a month. Is that math right? Just something doesn't seem right about this. Let's undo everything real fast, Matt, and just see what the heck happened here. Okay, so the loan balance is $8,013. Let's drop the interest rate to 6%. No, the interest rate. There you go. Drop the amortization term to 5 years, Matt. All right, we'll drop it to 3 years. I don't know why that's making the yield. Okay. Go down here in the yield thing, click that in there, and tell us why is it doing that.
Come right here?
Yeah. Go to the function wizard. Let's look and see what it's doing. It's, you know where it is, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll go right where in the little box up there where it says 6%. Yeah, it'll, Ryan says the yield's too big. It will calculate it, I promise you. It's the calculator's not as impressed with your yield as we are. Anyway, let me tell you my point, Matt.
Okay.
You paid $1,400 for this deal. You got an 85% yield. Okay? You're going to have the note paid for in 14 months, and then for the next 9 years, you're just going to get a check, right?
Correct.
Why generate a short payoff?
Because then I could reinvest that money. So
you got another $150 for the next 12 months.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not – what I would say is your biggest play is waiting on an early payoff.
So not even reach out to them. It'll eventually
– it's like we could do an exercise and say, let me show you how to take your yield from 86% to 200%. It don't make a shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is where you've heard me say it a zillion times. You can't get drunk on yield. The most best economic decision you can make is to put this deal asleep. If you want to go sell a partial and find somebody to go write you a check for a couple thousand dollars and buy a partial on this deal, then go recoup your money and make a little bit and let them keep the next so many payments. In fact, go do that, Matt. Click down here, resell $2,000 worth. No, change your terms again. Go back up top and go to your original term.
No. Forgot where it was. There we go.
All right. All right, so click down here and resell $2,000. Put in 4 years, 48 months. Put in 3 years. Put in 2 years. All right, there you go. Now show your graph. So Matt, you call one of your buddies you went to, what's that little junior college up there in Idaho where you went to school?
The Bluefield Smurf Turf Boise State?
Yeah, Boise State, that's it. Yeah, call one of them fraternity brothers at Boise State and tell them you got a deal. They can earn almost a 20% return per year on for 2 years, and they're investing $2,000 in their retirement account. Okay? And something's wrong on your term, by the way, Matt. I don't know. You got to go back and fix your chart there real quick. Yeah, put in 130. All right. So here's the deal. You say, look, it's hard for me to work my money when I get $100 a month. I got that. Just turn around and go sell a partial, raise $2,000, and you know, now all of a sudden you don't get any payments for 2 years because you don't want the payments, right? You want growth. $2,000, sell 2 years worth of payments. Now you got $2,000 to go put your money back out in another poker play again and keep your money working. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
So the play in this deal is not modifying the note. True enough, you can take your yield from 85% to 200%, but it's noise. I would never trade off getting $100 for 130 months for $250 for 36 months. Would you, Charles?
No.
Not when I got the upside of it paying off early.
Exactly. I mean, a small balance like that, Matt, I would ride it out and wait for a payoff.
But yeah, so here's what you do, Matt. You just sell a partial, give somebody some jacked up yield like 20% so they can go tell their country club buddies, yeah, I got this buddy I went to, you know, Idaho Junior College with, and or it's Boise. I'm sorry, Boise State. That's right.
Yeah, it used to be a junior college then.
See, I went to TCU, so we have our own little fun, Matt and I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, so I mean, you know, you guys go, hey, this old guy went to Boise State with in the real estate mortgage business, and he sold me a deal. I'm earning a 20% return annually. And, you know, he thinks he's ripping somebody off, and he feels good about himself.
Yeah, Matt,
that is a good question. This was an excellent case study. And I did not take it near where you thought I was, did I?
Yes, sir.
And that's why I like this, because it's like we have to keep beating this stuff up to figure out where it is. It's not always about changing your return.
Now you go back on there and buy you another asset, Matt.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was planning. Since it's retirement, I figured I didn't really need that much money right away. So
you don't,
I could just,
you don't need the cash flow. You just need growth.
Right.
And they're paying good. And this guy at $150 a month, your guy that bought the partial, he's going to get paid off a little early. Mm-hmm. And somebody will gamble. Somebody will put $2,000 up or whatever. Whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Matt's servicing this loan himself because it's a cheapo payment and, you know, it's land and, you know, he has to fool with it a little bit every month, but it ain't no big deal. Charles, if you own this in your retirement account, you'd probably service it yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, something small like this, Eddie, I would.
Now, here's when I say this. You remember, they make the check out directly to your administrator, right?
Right.
You're not like running the money through your checking account. When you say you're servicing it, you're just their point of contact.
Right. Yeah, it goes directly to your IRA.
Yeah.
It's
all right, Matt, we're jealous.
Yeah.
Chuck Mangan hadn't shown me I bought anything that good today.
I won't show you then, Eddie. I won't show you anything then. What's the lady out of curiosity? What's she going to do with this lot, Matt? Any ideas?
You know, it's a corner lot, so it's in between two where a road takes a little bend, so I'm guessing they might actually put a piece of property on it, but, or maybe a trailer or something, but they, the guy who owned it, he died, and so she's on the note also, or on the land, or the note also, so she's obligated to pay it as well. And they called me up when they found out that it was sold to somebody else, and, you know, Matthew IRA, and they called me up and just said, hey, you know, we're just trying to figure out, we just wanted to make sure we were sending the payments to the right people. So they're very, very motivated to keep it, and what they do with it, I don't know, just as long as they keep paying it. So
a lot of times people shy away from lots, you know, performing, even if they're performing, people shy away from lots. And this is a perfect example that even in a lot, there's some good deals there.
Mm-hmm. Charles and I worked super heavily in the dirt space for many years, and dirt loans. They were owner finance notes secured by dirt, and we totally understand that business. We like it, and you know, people kind of think, oh, they won't pay for dirt. You're wrong. They will.
That's all we used to do was dirt, wasn't it, Eddie?
That's it. I've done about 15,000 dirt notes. So I think you got a good deal, Matt, and I think the analogy that I think we came up with is definitely, you know, what I would recommend that you consider doing.
Okay.
All right, what else you got there, buddy?
All right, so we've got another kind of small question.
Oh, I guess we better open up our comment section and see where we're meeting.
They were telling us we needed to make the cell wider. That was in there. And then someone asked if I actually paid the $500 processing fee. And since I bought it through VIP,
yes,
VIP, I had to pay on the.
Well, he actually bought this off the VIP exchange. So he
I'll tell you what. If anybody wants to pay my overhead for a couple of months, I'll waive the processing fee. There you go. That's a good idea. Why don't we do that? Let you pay my overhead, and then I won't need to charge you a processing fee. I bet we don't have any volunteers for that plan.
And actually, Matt did buy an asset from me, and he paid the processing fee. You're right, Matt.
I did, yes, sir.
So Matt wasn't above that processing fee. So none of us are.
But somewhere, Lisa asked a question. That's did I pay for the fee outside of my IRA or from within? And she was saying something about paying it from outside. According to the CPA, is okay.
Yeah, I've heard that on more than one occasion, Lisa. That you can, if you want to pay it outside your IRA, you can. I'm not sure.
It's the same thing as the IRA administration fee.
Right.
That's a good point. Thank you, Lisa.
But I did pay for it from within the IRA. So, they were caught up.
And just so you know, at the time, he wasn't kin to me. So, that'll stop another 8 questions right there. All right. Very good.
All right.
Let's see. Kim Tucker. Kim Tucker wants to know about the expo, and I'm going to get to that. But let's get through our last questions first, Matt.
Okay. So if you have this is basically kind of covering someone wanting to either defer payments or mod their account or their loan with you. So if a borrower comes to me and asks for a deferment of payments on my performing loan, A, will the servicer of my loan take care of this? Is that something that a servicer normally does for you?
Yes, they will take care of the deferment. If you've got a servicer that's, you know, actually doing the collections on that loan or servicing it, you just need to contact them and just tell them you want to offer them a deferment program. Most servicers have some type of a deferment plan. I mean, you know, they may not all be the same, but typically at the end of the day, they do have a deferment plan that they can offer to a borrower.
Okay. And would the restructure of that loan be considered a new loan under Dodd-Frank, or would that not be applicable?
Well, it's going to be a modification. If you restructure, it's basically going to be a modification of the existing loan.
Okay. And so this is C. So assuming that the lender is willing to restructure and the borrower does not miss a payment before the mod is complete, how is it best to sell that restructure to an investor, and would you need to season that mod, and if so, how long before you sold it to an investor?
Yeah, I mean, they modify. You want to make sure that they're going to pay under that modification. So you would, once you restructure or modify that loan, you're going to probably need to season that note, I'd say probably 6 months.
But Charles, we see cases where when they modified, they paid a significant amount of money to modify it. And in that case, it becomes the other redeeming factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, generally, if they've got no skin in the game at the modification except, I promise I'm going to start paying again, then the redeeming factor becomes their pay history. Yeah. If they put some skin in the game, then that becomes a significant redeeming factor.
Absolutely.
These are good questions, by the way.
And don't ever think.
This is like, let me just tell you something. In our shop, we talk about this stuff all the time.
A lot of times people have, it's a misconception. They think, okay, people can't make their payments. We're going to have to modify their loan. They don't have money to make a down payment. And that's not always the case. So you always make sure you ask that question, okay, you know, how much skin can you put in the game? Can you put $5,000 down, $3,000, whatever the case may be? But don't automatically assume that just because they're not making their payment, they don't have cash somewhere that they can put down.
What happens to people is when they start getting behind and they think they're going to lose their house, they stop making payments. It doesn't mean that they don't have any money left. They were just scared to start sending over some of their money because they were scared, well, the lender's going to take it from me anyway.
Correct.
And the other thing is friends and family. Mm-hmm. Friends and family is a pretty amazing way that people can come up with resources. All right, good questions. Anything else, Matt?
All right, one last one. It's about title policy, and that is, when selling a partial, will I need a new title policy once I get the back end back?
All right, so you got the little...
Yes, sir.
PowerPoint. So I thought I would just, I'm going to kind of like do some little segments with you guys sometimes, and I'm going to just kind of go through just kind of really quickly some principles of the business. So let's see, give me a click there, Mr. Matt. All right, so everybody understands that the seller finance performing notes we see, there's basically two ways to paper them. One of them is a deed to the property, and then the buyer would sign a note, which is the promise to pay, and a deed of trust or a mortgage, depending on what state they're in. In the case of a deed being issued up front to the buyer becomes record holder of the property. So in this case, the buyer of the property would get an owner's title policy, and the lender would get a lender's title policy, or what you also hear me refer to as a mortgagee title policy. The coverage of a mortgagee title policy travels with the lien. So I can assign a note 10 times, and the mortgagee policy travels with the lien. Okay? If I'm buying a land contract, which a lot of these seller finance transactions are, It's kind of like a lease purchase on steroids. So the deed is held by the buyer until the debt is fully paid. Now, if I have a land contract and I hold title to the property, and I'm going to go over here to Charles, whoops, wrong way here. And I'm going to go over here to Charles, and I'm going to sell Charles this note, right? Charles is going to get the note, and he's buying my land contract. Wait a minute. I can't do an assignment of lien, because there isn't a mortgage of record. What's Charles get? I'm going to deed the property to Charles, and I'm going to do an assignment of the land contract. So now Charles is going to own the property. Okay? If Charles wants to go buy title insurance, he can go buy title insurance. It would be an owner's title policy. And the industry standard is people don't do that. but it's not impossible. You can do that, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so the issue is, Matt, if I am buying a note in deed of trust and there's a lender's policy, I'm gonna sell a partial of it. I'm going to assign it to you, Matt. You're going to own the next 5 years of this note, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the lender's title policy. 5 years later, you reassign it back to me. Matt, do you get the lender's title policy back? Remember, it travels with a lien.
Right.
So, yes, you're going to get the lender's title policy back. In the scenario of Charles, I'm going to sell Charles a land contract, okay? So I'm going to deed the property to Charles, and it is a partial. That means in 5 years, Charles is going to deed it back to me with the assignment of the lease option, I mean, of the land contract, okay? Charles is not going to assign it back to me with a title policy, because I don't want to go buy a brand new owner's title policy every time I convey ownership of the property. So I can be theoretically correct and go broke in this business. So there is a tolerance that we have discovered when we buy these assets, and that's what we're trying to teach you guys. Now, if I want to get a title search when Charles gives me the loan back in 5 years to make sure he hadn't done something crazy with it, I could do that. But I would just get a search, and I wouldn't fool with getting a policy. So there's two types of title insurance. So click here, Matt. Next one. I think this is the next one. Yep. There's two types of title insurance. There's an owner's title policy, which insures the one who's in title. And there's a mortgagee's title policy, which insures the lender. Depending on which type of seller finance transaction is what you're going to get. If I'm buying a land contract and I insist I got to have title insurance, I'd get an owner's title policy. If I'm buying a note in mortgage and I want title insurance, I would get a mortgagee's title policy or a lender's title policy. Now, the trade-off is, if I get a land contract, it's much easier to foreclose. God forbid I got to foreclose. So it's not quite as clean title insurance-wise, but it's much cleaner foreclosure-wise. And Charles and I say, it just depends on what's available. We're willing to buy both. We've bought both our whole career, and we think either one makes sense. That pretty much how you would say it, Charles?
Exactly, Eddie.
All right, so I don't think we need to, I thought about it, so like I don't want to get off into all the mechanics of a, you know, I want to make sure that I gave you too much data is what I'm saying, Matt.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we convey the title insurance as it relates to which type of a land contract you got. Okay?
All right.
Good question, by the way, whoever asked that.
So we're up to updating on the appreciation event. So kind of going back to...
Okay, so we're going to have a really full day. For those of you that are titaniums, we hope to see you on Wednesday. And we're going to have a little special event with you guys, kind of a pre-event event, and that'll be fun. It'll be a small group, pretty intimate. We're going to have a pretty intense couple-hour session. And then Thursday morning, we're going to start out registration, and we'll start promptly at 9 o'clock. We got short sessions that day with a variety of speakers that are going to be talking about the capital side, the compliance side, the implementation of the business that you should be experiencing every day, whether you're trying to go find more money or you're trying to go raise more money. Bob has set the agenda, so if you're asking me to go name every speaker that's speaking on that day, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Charles, and I probably can't do that because Bob's got it over there in his corner and he's hiding it from everybody.
Yep.
But I can tell you that he walks around with a piece of paper all day, seriously, crafting out exactly what we're going to do. There's going to be a lot of content that we're going to try to cover in the appreciation event. We're going to finish up about 5:15 that day, and then we're going to have we have several special announcements, including we're going to give you guys a gift, one gift that's worth, I think, $5,000 each, and one that's almost priceless. So we've got some special surprises that we haven't told you about. And that we're going to talk about that at the on the Thursday day. And the only ones that know about it are some people that saw me do a speaking engagement last Friday. And they know what the secret is, and so shh, don't tell everybody else. What else, Charles? We're going to have the case study competition. You're going to vote on that. We got a really busy day that day. The longest speaking engagement's maybe 30 minutes. So we got a lot of stuff we're going to cover that day. We're going to be done about 5:30. Our cocktail party at our appreciation banquet and charity auction is going to start at 6:30. We're going to have a nice dinner. We got really good setup. Auction's going to start about 8:30 or 8 o'clock, and we're going to do it. It won't last long like it has in the past. We're going to be really efficient with it. We'll work through some details of that. We're going to have a really fun time. Y'all don't stay out too late because we got two full days at the Note Expo. One of the things that we did with the Note Expo is we invited speakers that we might have had for our appreciation, but they weren't necessarily just 100% unique to mentor students. And the reason we wanted to do it that way is that we wanted to create an environment where you guys can interact with other people in the industry and not just other mentor students. So you'll have your special tags. Everybody's going to know who you are. Everybody's going to know you're a high-end Note School person. We got all that, and you're going to be acknowledged for it. And then, two full days of a variety of speakers, a few panels, and a lot of kind of what I consider to be cutting edge things that you're going to be able to do. Significant focus on raising capital. How you raise capital, how do you do it legally, correctly. There's going to be a significant focus in those areas because that's what you say our biggest thing is. Couple of things that's going to happen. You guys are going to be able to make appointments with Charles and Martha and Ryan and Zarina all during the Note Expo. So you're going to have meetings that you're going to be able to have with them and kind of zero in on things that we need to hear, correct, make better, make you understand more clearly. All those things are going to be available to you during the event. Okay, so it should be a very efficient time in the business. We've got a U.S. congressman that's going to speak. We've got several very sophisticated folks in the space that we're dealing in every day in the capital space that we've invited to the event. Some of you you've met, some of you you've met or seen before. Some of them you've never met or seen before. So I think it'll be super good. I think as of a meeting today, Charles, we're about 30 seats away from being totally filled up.
Right.
I mean, we're 30 more seats, stick a fork in us, we're done. We can't take any more reservations. So it's we're pretty fired up. It's gonna be a quality event. I know not everybody can come, I got that, but it's gonna be fun, and we're thrilled to see all the guys that we're going to see there.
Now, Matt, the hotel block is full, correct?
Susan told me that as of today or a couple of days, it is completely full. So if you are coming and haven't registered with them, you do need to find another hotel to stay at.
Okay.
But the good thing is that, well, we do have a discount with them for people who are staying at other venues. And if you do park at the location there, it's discounted to $8 for the day. I don't know what if it's overnight. I couldn't find that information if we had it discounted. But just to park there for the day would be $8 for you. So.
And the venue is in a good location. So if you're not staying at our hotel there, there are a lot of hotels in the area. So that's the nice thing about the venue is because it's very convenient to, you know, a lot of other hotels.
This is almost across the street from where they're building the Cowboys World Headquarters, Dallas Cowboys World. Am I saying that right, Charles?
Yep, their training facility.
Yeah. So it's a very nice spot. Lots of cool restaurants. I think you guys will have fun. It's not like in a downtown thing. It's more of a upscale suburban.
Cowboys are winning 7-3, by the way, halftime.
How about them Dallas Cowboys?
I'll talk about the Cowboys.
I love the Cowboys. And if Jerry Jones would be on this call with us, I'd love him.
Well, I don't know about that now. I don't know about
I'd
that.
I'd love him while he was on the call.
Yeah, let's not push it.
Y'all like my Dallas Cowboys. All right. Let's see. All right. So, we're really looking forward to seeing everybody, and we're going to have a fun time. So, we are really, one of the things that we really are focused on, I want you to really come to this event zeroed in on with a specific list of things. These are things that I'm really needing help with or struggling with. And we're going to have a situation where we're going to be able to start really building up a tally list and prioritizing that list of how to help you with things. And I think the guys that are able to come to this event are going to see a big impact from that. And by the way, what did I say? They're going to get a gift that I hadn't told them about? There you go. Okay, Mr. Matt, is that everything?
Yes, sir. I think we've covered everything for tonight.
All right. Well, you did a great job tonight. We actually enjoyed getting to hear about an asset you own and everybody else's too. Mr. Maine, it's time for you to go home, sir.
It's time for me to go home here shortly, Eddie.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Have a great evening.
Good night.
Good night.